I started in 1965, and I was reading an article one night in the paper about how DDT, which was an insecticide, was not only controlling harmful insects, but it was also killing a lot of the helpful insects. And they said, if you want to have a garden and fruit trees, and perhaps you ought to start honeybees. Knowing nothing about it, I started honeybees. And I've enjoyed it over the years.
And here you are. Now, the honeybee is not native to Michigan, is it?
That's correct.
How to get here?
If you go way back, probably in the Middle East, Northern Africa, that area, there were actually four species of honeybees. And one of them was the honeybee that we use, Apis mellifera, which is a cavity type. Most of the others, they made exposed comb. And so the first beekeepers were actually bee finders. They would harvest the honey that was hanging down off cliffs and so on. But then they realized that the bees that are in cavities could be moved to a cooler, more temperate climate. And in 1608 at Jamestown, Virginia, they were brought here to establish. And keep in mind that in 1608, there was no electricity, so you used beeswax candles for lighting. Honey was much cheaper than sugar.
Sugar was very exotic.
Oh, very expensive. It was more expensive than caviar and very hard to get. People used honey for preservation, for food. And then in 1622 or so, they were brought to Plymouth, Massachusetts, and they kept them in what we call straw skeps. We didn't have the wooden boxes like we have today. A straw-woven basket. Mm. Maybe you've seen the symbol of a beehive.
Yeah.
There were many bees here, and many insects for pollination, but this was the first honeybee.
When did they get to Michigan?
When bees are strong, they often swarm in the spring. Right now is the swarming season. And when they swarm, they would move to a new location. From the 1600s, they moved about 50 miles a year. There was a vast canopy of trees all the way from the East Coast to the Mississippi River, and so they would move from tree to tree. And so the Michigan arrival was about 1776. And then, of course, the first settlers, as they came in to clear the land, they would look for bee trees. Mm-hmm. They would either try to harvest the honey from the tree or try to save the tree. Sometimes they'd maintain the hive right in the tree. They would cut a window. And keep in mind, in those days, honey was comb honey, not liquid honey. It wasn't until the mid-1800s that they actually were able to extract honey from the comb.
Okay.
So, in fact, the people who extracted honey, they wouldn't let them call it honey. It had to be called extract of honey, because honey was the comb honey.
Okay, so there we have that kind of evolution.
Right.
When did beekeeping in Michigan start becoming a business?
So I would say mid-1800s. One of the first sort of pioneers at Michigan State University, A.J. Cook, he was advocating commercial beekeeping at that time. In fact, he was a commercial beekeeper himself. And one of the things that sort of revolutionized it was the, I won't say the invention, but the creation of a new type of hive. You've seen the boxes that are stacked on top of each other. That's called the Langstroth hive. Prior to that, beekeeping was pretty much in skeps. They had to actually kill the bees to harvest the honey, and it was very wasteful. So then with the new hive called the Langstroth hive, based on the principle of movable frames, you could segregate the boxes so that certain boxes would have honey in, others they would raise their young, and so on. And so that gave a real impetus to commercial beekeeping. The extractor around that same time, centrifugal force baskets that they used. There were many inventions in that time which made it a lot easier for beekeepers to go into it in a commercial way.
I'm talking with veteran beekeeper Roger Sutherland, who's also a retired biology professor. And Roger, we keep seeing reports of hive collapse. Can you explain to us just what that is and what causes it and why it's so worrisome?
Well, it is worrisome. In 1965, when I started, there was actually a similar condition called the disappearing disease. Keep in mind that in 1965, many of the problems we have today weren't even on the horizon yet. And Dr. Rothenberl from Ohio State University was given the challenge of trying to figure out what was causing the disease, why were they disappearing. And after 2 years of study, he said, "I'm happy to report that the disappearing disease has disappeared." and who never came up with a solution. I think we're in a similar way. There are so many factors now that contribute to the decline of the bees. When I started in 1965, for the first 25 years, it was like the land of milk and honey because we had very low winter kills, good harvest. But then in 85, two parasitic mites came on the horizon, and it was probably exacerbated by the fact that people were moving bees back and forth. So a beekeeper would take bees to Florida, come back, and pick up the mites.
Okay.
And so we keep adding new problems. So right now, with the pesticide problem, with the mite problem, and we haven't solved it yet. Unfortunately, the mites have become resistant to our chemicals. The change in beekeeping practices, where more and more commercial beekeepers are moving their bees.
Things that weren't happening in the 60s.
Things were not happening.
And
we have many new pesticides. The neonicotinoids are a real concern. I think the general consensus is there's no one single silver bullet, but many different factors. And together, we don't know the synergistic effects of all of them together.
How about climate change?
I do a survey every spring in March. This is southeastern Michigan. And I said, how many hives did you have last October? And how many do you have now in March? The year before last, the losses were 58%. Last March, I surveyed 113 beekeepers in southeastern Michigan. Most of them were called hobby beekeepers. Mm-hmm. And they, again, reported 56% losses. I asked them, do you see what we call colony collapsing disorder? They are not seeing that. In the colony collapsing disorder, as I understand it, there will be a few bees left in the hive with the queen. We're seeing bees that simply are dead. Climate is definitely a factor. Almost all commercial beekeepers in Michigan now don't keep their bees here over the winter. They move them to Florida. They can do things down there with their bees that they can't do in the winter here. About 70% of the honey you buy in the supermarket now is foreign honey because the packers, the people who pack honey for major supermarkets, packers are buying this cheap honey from foreign countries. Many of the commercial beekeepers have changed from producing honey to pollination contracts. Move them to California where the big money is and almonds, bring them back. That's very stressful. That is another factor.
They're really being put to work, these bees.
Well, and not only the physical stress of moving bees, mm-hmm. but the nutritional stress, because they're feeding them a high fructose corn syrup, which is not as nutritionally sound. Nectar has many other nutritional ingredients. They're not getting them normal pollen. You have to have a variety of pollen to get the nutrition. Again, to reiterate, there are many factors which are contributing to the decline. I think we'll all expect climate change. I mean, in my 85 years, I've seen a lot of climate change. So it is a contributing factor.
What do you find most intriguing and satisfying about beekeeping?
As a biologist, I think I was first intrigued by the marvelous organization of the hive. Here you have 40 to 60,000 bees, the division of labor, the biology of the hive. Even though that hive is 40 or 60,000 bees, it's one individual. But then you have to take that one step further. It's the honeybee hive and the flowers that it visit. They have formed a very, very complex symbiotic relationship. And that flower without the bee or the bee without the flower is going to have some problems. So I'm probably more into that aspect of beekeeping. Actually, I think I'm a lousy beekeeper. Both my wife and I, we're always finding new things, new ways that bees can organize that hive.
Fascinating. Well, anyone who wants to learn more about beekeeping can go to the Southeast Michigan Beekeepers Association website. It is sembabees.org. That's S-E-M-B-A-B-E-S, sembabees.org. Roger Sutherland, it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.